Critics of President Trump have accused him of being unfit for office for a variety of reasons, one of which is that he's mentally ill. Meanwhile, President Trump has used words like crazy and psycho to describe detractors on Twitter. So, do you think this is out of line or not, and why? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will talk with a guest this hour who says that this kind of dialogue isn't only inappropriate, it's harmful to people who have serious mental illnesses. And we will wonder what you think. Have you or have you heard someone else claim that President Trump is mentally ill, that he's not psychologically well? Do you agree that we shouldn't be tossing around fake diagnoses like this? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Marjorie Baldwin, a professor in the Department of Economics at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. She is the author of Beyond Schizophrenia, Living and Working with a Serious Mental Illness. And her latest blog for Psychology Today is Playing Politics with Mental Illness. Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us very, very early in the morning from the West Coast.
Yes, thank you for having me. Good morning, Joy.
So, as mentioned, we have heard critics of President Trump calling him mentally ill, saying he's unfit for office because he's not, he's not mentally fit. And you say that this is not only inappropriate, it's harmful. Walk us through your concerns when we hear accusations like this about someone having a diagnosis.
Yes. Well, among the other things that President Trump has been criticized for, he's been called racist, sexist, xenophobic, fascist, collaborator with Russia. And when you include mentally ill with this list of accusations, it makes it sound like being mentally ill is one of the worst things that you can be. And people who have care about people with mental illness, the psychiatric profession, has struggled for years to combat the stigma that being mentally ill is one of the worst things that you can be. And they have been trying to educate the public that serious mental illnesses are diseases of the brain. They have distinct psychological causes, physiological causes. Treatments are available. So mental illnesses are illnesses and not the same as an attitude like racism or sexism or behavior like collaborating with enemies. And my argument is that when we treat mental illness as such for political purposes, we're denying the science that's underlying the diagnosis.
Yeah, and you note in your piece that President Trump is not the first politician to be accused of having a mental illness without a diagnosis. Talk about the circumstances when this last occurred or has occurred in U.S. history.
Well, probably the most impactful case occurred during the 1964 presidential election. During that campaign, Fact magazine conducted a survey. They asked more than 12,000 psychiatrists whether Senator Barry Goldwater was psychologically fit for the presidency. About 2,400 psychiatrists responded, and nearly half of them said that Goldwater was psychologically unfit. It's a very low response rate, less than 20%. And none of the psychiatrists who made this pseudo-diagnosis had personally examined Senator Goldwater. But nevertheless, the magazine published the results. Senator Goldwater eventually won a defamation lawsuit against the magazine, but the damage had already been done. The American Psychiatric Association responded and in 1973 they implemented what's been called the Goldwater Rule. And it says that it's unethical for a psychiatrist to offer a professional opinion on the psychiatric state of anyone without conducting a personal examination of that individual.
Yeah. And I correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't we seeing some violations of that Goldwater Rule in throughout the campaign and through this the early months of this administration? Some, and maybe they weren't psychiatrists, but some medical professionals have been weighing in on interviews as to the president's mental fitness.
Absolutely, and it's interesting because the statement that I was just talking about, the Goldwater Rule, is a statement from the American Psychiatric Association. But the American Psychological Association and the American Medical Association don't have any such rules. However, it's interesting that the American Psychiatric Association reviewed the Goldwater Rule in March, and its ethics committee reiterated the principle and dealt with some of the objections that medical professionals have come forward and said, well, it's okay for us to make an exception to the Goldwater Rule in this case because of freedom of speech or a duty to warn the public or whatever. But the ethics committee rebuffed every one of those arguments and reaffirmed that it's unethical to make a diagnosis or to offer a professional opinion without personal examination of the patient.
Yeah. So maybe it's obvious, but why are pseudo-diagnoses of mental illness where you don't see the person, you don't actually treat the person, why is that unethical?
Because there are standards for evaluating people with mental illness and that require not only an examination, but a study of medical records to determine if the individual actually meets the criteria for mental illness. Moreover, whenever a psychiatrist examines or treats an individual for mental illness, that's done with the individual's consent. So to make comments about a public figure in absence of that consent is a violation of ethics.
Yeah. Well, so how can calling the president or anyone for that matter, using the terms crazy or mentally ill, be harmful for people or to people with mental illness?
And that's kind of the chief argument that I address in my blog, as opposed to where the American Psychiatric Association is dealing with the ethics of it. People with serious mental illness and their families and the psychiatric profession itself deals with tremendous stigma. The stigma against mental illness is more intense than the stigma against almost any other physical disorder. Studies have shown that the stigma against mental illness is on a par with the stigma directed toward alcoholics, people with drug disorders, even ex-convicts. When mentally ill is used as a slam against a public figure, it reinforces the stereotypes that people with mental illness are bad, are dangerous, are incompetent. And by reinforcing those stereotypes, it makes the lives of the people involved with serious mental illness or suffering from mental illness even more difficult.
Yeah, we have just a minute before news and much more time after that, but you are the mother of a young man with schizophrenia. How does this affect you and your family personally?
I think the stimulus for the blog came from an email I received from a friend saying how upset she was over President Trump's election because he's mentally ill. And it just struck a chord within me that well, obviously anyone who has suffered from a mental illness, you know, should not be in public office. And recovery from mental illness is possible. I wrote immediately back to her and said, I've seen serious mental illness, and President Trump is not it. It's very personal to me, and I imagine it's the same way for other people who have dealt with mental illness themselves or with a family member.
And we will see. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. We'll check the news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. All right, have you ever called President Trump or another political leader crazy or mentally unwell? How do you think that affects discourse about mental health in our country? Do you or does someone you know live with a mental illness? What effect does it have on you to hear the term crazy or mentally ill tossed around in public speech when it comes to President Trump? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest says we shouldn't be playing politics with mental illness, that tossing around these fake diagnoses is harmful to people who have serious mental illnesses, and it's harmful to the discourse about mental illness in this country. And we wonder what you think, or if you agree or not. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Marjorie Baldwin is a professor in the Department of Economics at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. She is author of Beyond Schizophrenia, Living and Working with a Serious Mental Illness. Her son has schizophrenia. Her latest blog post for Psychology Today is Playing Politics with Mental Illness. Kevin in Crandon is with us. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, Joy. I just wanted to say, as someone myself, I'm speaking for myself, who's been diagnosed with major depression, extreme anxiety, paranoid personality disorder, and schizoid personality disorder, and who just happened to have had a myocardial infarction here this past Monday morning. I think your guest is being way too sensitive about this, which is a problem, I think, in the United States in general. You know, people are just way too sensitive about every tiny little thing. And I would just refer to a recent article in Rolling Stone in which the speculation and article was about the fact that Trump may have narcissistic personality disorder and a particularly severely malignant form of which.
That's all I have to say.
As someone who
lives with mental illness, Kevin, you don't think that this is harmful to you or the discourse about this?
No. Like I said, too sensitive. Way too sensitive.
Well, what's your reaction to that, Marjorie?
I think that's very interesting because I wonder if the reaction would be the same if the president were a female and there were criticism that a woman shouldn't be president. We just had our first black president. We did not hear accusations that, well, a black can't be president. The insidious thing about the stigma against mental illness is that it's so acceptable. And here we have a person who has been diagnosed with mental illness saying it's acceptable to use this as a disqualifier for people holding public office. So I guess that's my response. One of the things that I object to is that it's kind of like people with mental illness are one of the last groups that it's okay to call names, and it's okay to stereotype and stigmatize them. And I would object to that.
Yeah. And that's an example of what we see in the media. This an article with someone. I didn't see the article itself, but I remember that headline. You know, a diagnosis of President Trump having narcissistic personality disorder. That's what you're talking about. That nobody should be saying that if they haven't actually seen a person.
And I haven't seen the article. I don't know what their source was. If the source is a mental health professional, then that's exactly what the American Psychiatric Association is saying. If they haven't, if they have not examined President Trump personally, then they should not be offering a diagnosis. And if it's not a mental health professional, they're not qualified to give the diagnosis.
Let's go to Tim and Barron. Hi, Tim.
Hi. A couple of quick questions. One, isn't saying that somebody doesn't have something also giving a diagnosis? If maybe I heard incorrectly, but it sounded like you had said that that he didn't. The guest said that he didn't.
No, that's not exact. That's not what you said, right, Professor Baldwin?
Actually, he has a good point, and he's paying close attention. The American Psychiatric Association says it is equally wrong for someone to say someone is mentally ill or not mentally ill without a saying someone is not mentally ill is almost diagnosing them. So yes, when I said that, I was violating the American Psychiatric Association. I'm not a mental health professional, that was a comment that I made in an email to a friend, but you're right. You should not be making diagnosis either that you have mental illness or that you don't have mental illness in the absence of an examination.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I missed that part. So Tim, okay, what else did you have?
One more quick thing, and it's not exactly what I told the call screener, but mental illness is a disqualifier in many people's minds for owning a firearm, and I believe that's a pretty common sense thing. And owning the nuclear football, I would say, is like owning a very, very large firearm.
Well, how do we, what do you say to that, Professor Baldwin?
I don't agree that it's so common sense. I think that's buying in to the stereotype, again, that people with mental illness are dangerous. Some people with untreated mental illness, who have particular forms of mental illness, may be inclined to violence, but that is not necessarily the rule or even the majority. And people with mental illness whose symptoms are controlled, with serious mental illness, whose symptoms are controlled by medication, are no more dangerous than the general public. And if their symptoms are under control and they're adhering to their medications, there's no reason why they should not be able to enjoy all the rights of any other citizen. There are also rules in some states that disqualify people with mental illness from voting, from holding public office. I would say these are all archaic rules and playing into the worst stereotypes of people with mental illness.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, I don't know the specific law, but I thought that if there was a background check on someone and it showed that they had been committed for being a threat to themselves or others, that was taken into consideration as to whether they could own a firearm or not. Are you familiar with that in particular?
I'm not familiar with that in particular. Mm-hmm. If someone is has been determined to be a threat to themselves or others, either because of mental illness or any other reason, mm-hmm. then I absolutely agree that should be a disqualifier for a firearm, but not generically just saying, okay, someone has been diagnosed with mental illness, therefore.
Yeah.
It's okay to take
right.
away this right.
Our caller told our producer that he wanted to talk about just generally talking about, for instance, President Trump shows signs of being mentally ill or shows signs of this particular disorder, or anyone for that matter, shows signs of an illness. Is that still crossing the line?
I'm sorry. You mean, is it still crossing the line?
Does it cross the line in your mind, the Goldwater rule, or just in general, your concern that this is harmful to people who do have mental illness, to talk about whether someone is showing signs of mental illness?
Well, actually, the Goldwater rule deals with that, and the Ethics Committee deals with that. They say it's not just rendering a diagnosis, any professional opinion. So that would be considered about the individual's behavior or whatever. Any professional opinion that deals with the mental illness, that would be unethical. I would weigh in on that and saying, as someone who has read the diagnostic manual for mental disorders, anyone that looks at that and reads through might think, oh my goodness, I have this, I have that, I have this. A lot of us will fit into one or, you know, more of the categories for one of the symptoms of an illness. That doesn't mean that you have that illness. That's why it requires an in-person evaluation by a trained professional.
Let's go to Mike in Ashland now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to just call and just tell you, I believe your guest is making some very, very good points here. And see, we're in America used to our presidents using words that are very scripted in such a way not to offend anyone. Anybody. That's been going on for many, many presidencies, and to smooth everybody over. But now we have a president who is speaking truthfully what he really feels, and it does offend some people, and many people just cannot handle it. So therefore they react with derogatory comments like, he's crazy, he's mentally ill, or he's a racist, a womanizer, all the things that we've been hearing for many months. For example, right now in the health care bill, we hear people saying people are going to die. And these are just extreme measures of trying to combat him and to resist him. And this craziness and this mentally ill stuff is part of it, I believe.
Yeah. So do you have a comment, Marjorie, on whether this our political climate and the divisiveness is a part of what's going on here?
I absolutely agree. And I think that's part of the reason for the Goldwater Rule and for the Ethics Committee having reiterated it right in this season. Political passions are running high. People feel very strongly on both sides of the issue. The danger is when a mental health professional weighs in using his professional accreditations, let's say, and uses that to make a pseudo-diagnosis or offer an opinion. How can you know if he's basing that? He doesn't have an examination backing him up. So what he's going on is public behavior and his own being influenced by perhaps his own political views, and that's exactly what the Psychiatric Association wants to avoid. Sorry about the noise.
Did you drop your coffee cup, Marjorie?
You have to have something to keep you awake in the morning.
Yeah,
right?
Sorry about that. Well, it's not just President Trump's detractors, though, who are, you know, weighing in on whether he's mentally ill or not, or calling him crazy or mentally unwell. President Trump himself has used the language. For example, just recently he was tweeting about the Morning Joe co-hosts, including Mika Brzezinski, called her low IQ crazy Mika. I think he called Joe Scarborough psycho Joe. What advice broadly would you give people about using such language? I mean, calling someone, anyone, crazy or psycho.
Well, you know, President Trump is not shy about responding to his critics in kind. But I hope he's listening, because I would say the same thing on both sides. It hurts. I have seen a loved one who has been suffering from psychosis. It's very painful. It's an extremely difficult thing to deal with, and to just call someone psycho as an insult and a derogatory is hurtful and perpetuating these stereotypes of people with mental illness.
Are you hopeful we can eliminate the use of language in this context?
I am, because we have eliminated so many slanders that were applied to other minority groups that are no longer acceptable. Derogatory terms used to refer to racial and ethnic groups or women. I think it's a matter of awareness, of realizing what we're saying, and that's one reason that I wrote my blog.
We have other callers. Mark in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Mark.
Hi. Just to make clear at the outset, I am, like your guest, against using diagnosis in absentia. The person needs to be in person to do this right. But having said this, I think there is a kernel of truth behind these observations on both sides of the issue, but that they're being misapplied and not applied broadly enough, and that the level of partisanship in this country has reached such a level that I think it itself, the condition itself, needs to be classified by the DSM as a mental disorder, akin to cult disorder. And it's something your guest needs to consider. I'll hang up.
Well, I guess he's saying that the American Psychiatric Association should add partisanship or extreme partisanship, as a mental illness or something in the book. What do you say to that?
They have been accused of adding so many things that everyone is mentally ill. So I don't know. But if it reaches a critical level of derangement, perhaps they will add it.
Yeah. We have a number of comments along these lines on Facebook. Jonathan on Facebook says, Trump has personality disorders that make him unfit to be president. I don't think I would call it mental illness. It's unfair to those who actually have it. So what do you say to that?
Well, personality disorders are included in the diagnostic manual for mental disorders, so they are included among mental disorders. They're not exactly what I was speaking of in the blog. I was speaking of serious mental illness, and I was referring to the schizophrenia spectrum disorders, major depressive disorder, and bipolar disorder. These have been shown to have physiological causes. They are disorders of the brain, where we can actually identify physiological causes. I am not a trained psychiatrist, so I don't know if the same is true of personality disorders. So it wasn't directly what I was speaking of, but they are included in the diagnostic manual of mental disorders.
Marjorie Baldwin is a professor in the Department of Economics at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. She is the author of Beyond Schizophrenia, Living and Working with a Serious Mental Illness. She has a son with schizophrenia, and she writes about this and the issues she has with people who call President Trump mentally ill in her blog for Psychology Today, Playing Politics with Mental Illness. We'll talk more about it after we check the latest news. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who writes a blog for Psychology Today, and she has a son who has schizophrenia, and she says we should not be playing politics with mental illness. She says that critics of President Trump should not be accusing him of being unfit for office because he is supposedly mentally ill. And she says President Trump shouldn't be tossing around words like crazy and psycho to describe his detractors on Twitter either. She says that not only is this inappropriate and unethical in some cases, that it's harmful to people who have serious mental illness, and it's harmful to the discourse about mental illness. We wonder if you agree or disagree with that, and we welcome your thoughts and your questions about this. Have you, or have you heard someone else, claim that President Trump is mentally ill? Who says so? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And do you or does someone you know live with a mental illness? What effect does it have on you to hear this kind of discourse in public speech? Brandy on Facebook says, as a person who does have a mental illness, which has been successfully treated, I agree with your guess that it does hurt when people toss around words like that. It also doesn't help that some people who truly don't have mental illness try to seek those diagnoses for attention. Well, I didn't know that that was an issue. However, whether you are to the left or to the right in the political spectrum, you can't deny the fact that Donald Trump shows a significant amount of signs and symptoms of mental illness. Marjorie, what's your response to Brandy? Oops, I'm sorry. We have to make sure that your sound is on. Marjorie, do you have a response to Brandy? Oh, all right. Another button. Here we go. Now we'll finally hear you, Marjorie.
You've got me now?
Yes.
Okay. I would just say that what we see of President Trump in public is only a subset of his behavior. It's his public behavior. As one of your previous callers said, his persona is to be very different from previous presidents, to be brash, to be outspoken. But the American Psychiatric Association warns that making judgments about a person having mental illness from just a subset of their behavior is unethical for psychiatrists. And I think others of us who don't have the training should be cautious. Perhaps all of us at some point in our lives exhibit signs of some mental illness or another. The diagnostic manual is pages and pages thick. I still think that we should be cautious about our comments and about the way we refer to people in terms that can be hurtful to those who actually have been diagnosed with mental illness.
Let's go to Joe in Madison next. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Joy. I'm a mental health professional in Madison, and I agree with your guess that people that are not mental health professionals should not be diagnosing if they have not treated somebody face-to-face. My question was, does your guest know if the president had to go through a mental health examination before he got the gig?
I don't. Why does that matter, Joe? And I don't think anybody knows that. And I don't. It's not a requirement to be president.
That was my question. If it was a requirement, and one of your previous callers said, you know, to be able to be in charge of nuclear weapons is having a weapon. And I know that in the military, they do have to go through a mental health screening.
Yeah, you know, I don't. We can have my producer look that up. You have the presidents release health reports and that sort of thing, but it's up to them what they release there. Marjorie, do you have any idea as to whether presidential candidates officially go through some sort of mental health screening?
Surviving the rigors of a campaign, I do know that the president goes through a physical with his physician every year. That's pretty standard because we hear the reports on the news, oh, the president had his physical today. I'm not sure whether that includes a mental health screening or whatever. So, no, I don't think I know any more than you do about that.
Yeah, well, I think, Joe, are you suggesting that it should be a requirement to be president?
I wasn't sure either way. I was wondering if either you or your guest knew.
Yeah. Well, I'll ask Brianne to look it up. I truly don't think that there is any required psychological or psychiatric screening of any presidential candidate that then is then publicly released. But we'll look that up. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org if you have a question or a thought for our guest who says that we should not be tossing around words like crazy or psycho willy-nilly describing someone. We should not be calling President Trump those terms, saying that he is mentally ill when we haven't diagnosed him as being so, because she said this is harmful to the discourse about mental illness in this country. It's harmful to those who have a serious mental illness. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Back to the phones. Jeremy and Racine is with us. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I think I agree with your guest, by the way, in regards to keeping mental illness out of politics. But one of the contributing factors that I've noticed in this last election cycle is the influence of the mainstream media and guiding the narrative of the president and other oppositions, whether it be from the left or the right. When you got so many mainstream outlets conducting so many op-ed pieces, Facebook and other media outlets online, it's almost becoming a normal, like a cultural thing. I'm hearing people say things about President Trump that they're using, you know, narcissistic and all these other things. They never spoke like that before, but they almost seem to be repeating what they are hearing on mainstream media outlets as well as online media.
Yeah, so the media has a role in this, Marjorie.
Oh, definitely. And the media has had a role in perpetuating the stigma against persons with mental illness. Research studies have shown that the vast majority of articles that appear in the news about mental illness have negative connotations. It's still perfectly acceptable on television shows that it so many times the perpetrator of a crime will be depicted as someone with a mental illness, again, perpetuating the stereotype that all people with mental illness are dangerous. And as far as all the articles that are appearing, again, I've referred to the statement by the American Psychiatric Association, and if when they were requested for an interview, more mental health professionals would say, I cannot make a diagnosis without examination, perhaps we would have fewer articles in the media. So I think there's fault on both sides there.
Lori emails, thank you so much for this program regarding the importance of not stereotyping the abilities of those with mental illness. One critique, just as you cannot diagnose Donald Trump as having mental illness, isn't it correct that without an evaluation, you can't rule it out either?
And yes, I think we kind of had a comment like that before. And that's right. And the statement from the ethics committee says it is unethical to both offer a diagnosis or to say that someone is not mentally ill.
Yeah. Charlie in Duluth is with us now. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. My concern is that it's becoming more of a problem because of the political divide in America between the left and the right. But, you know, my concern would be that saying we shouldn't diagnose is correct, but to provide an analysis of what you believe to be true might be a little different. I mean, we're talking about the president of the United States, and as I told your screener, my thoughts on it revolve around, like, say, my brother. I go to a mental health professional and I say, these are the behaviors my brother's exhibiting. Is this, should this be a concern for me? You know, should this be something that I, you know, that I should be concerned about? And as public officials, isn't that more of a...
All right, I get it. Because we're running short on time, Charlie, I'm going to ask Marjorie to react to, hey, Charlie's just saying I'm concerned about my country. I see behaviors in the president that concern me because he's the leader of the free world. And what's wrong with talking about those concerns?
The APA, American Psychiatric Association, addresses this current concern directly. Some psychiatrists have argued that for reasons of national security, that should override the Goldwater rule, and they should be allowed to raise their concerns. But the Psychiatric Association says that basing any professional opinion, whether it's a diagnosis or just expressing concerns, on a subset of behavior exhibited in the public sphere is insufficient to render professional opinions, and they call this malpractice.
So we have just a minute to go. What do you hope listeners take away from this conversation?
I hope that they take away that there is this tremendous and pervasive and prevalent stigma against mental illness, and that the stereotypes that feed that stigma are false, that people with mental illness, many of them are able to recover and assume important roles in society, and that I hope that they just become more conscious and aware of the stigma and not use language that contributes to it.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Marjorie Baldwin, professor in the Department of Economics at the W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University. Her latest blog post for Psychology Today is Playing Politics with Mental Illness. Thanks to Brian Shasso for producing the program. This is the Ideas Network.